So here we are, another exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks. Glad you're with me. I've got Brett Wellman in the second hour. He's going to bring you some fantastic blues guitaring. And we've got another portion of the show devoted to Dave Murphy. You met him last week. Well, I brought him back, so he's going to be with us. And I've got Tim Linnefelt with a special edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations, right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services, for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press, commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
So here we are, my friend, with Hurricane Irma having done her best to try to push us around and wear us out, spend up our money as we take a look around what's going on. And I've got Brett Wellman here in the second hour to help me do that. If you don't know Brett Wellman, well, you're about to. He's a pretty cool guy, and he's got a great band called the Stone Cold Blues Band, one of the hardest working guys in local music that I've found. I mean, this guy, you can't go to Facebook without seeing him pop up at least two or three times each week somewhere. And he's got a big old show coming up here in a couple weeks on the 13th, about a month from now. Northside Stage with Brett Wellman and the Stone Cold Blues Band. Jim Crozier's going to open for him. And guess what? We're going to be there. Moose Magnificat will be broadcasting the entire affair live just for you Moose listeners. Are you not plugged in on this? Come on. MooseMagnificat.com. All local musicians playing their original songs. Can't beat it. Can't beat it, including Brett Wellman. And in the first hour, I decided to re-air my conversation with Dave Murphy. Dave is a longtime Tallahassee producer with people like Eric Durance under his belt, Pierce Pettis, a lot of folks that you would know. Belmont and Jones, a lot of people that he has had the opportunity to work with. Scary good, he is. Has his own studio. He's been working this craft of his for 100 years. At least 30 that I can recall. Been at it for a while. Marvelous work. Seminoles, FSU football, and we're going to have Tim Linnefelt with us here in the first hour. Coming up right after this break, we're going to talk to Tim about FSU football, what's up ahead, and with Francois out for the season. Ugh, makes you just, I just cringe when I think about him. But, you know, he was pretty heads up about the whole thing, it seemed to me. He had a pretty remarkable bounce back. I don't know if it was that day, the next day. He was tweeting out about, hey, guys, you know, Whatever God has for me, I'm ready. Whatever he wants to do, I'm there. Kind of his attitude about it. Hard to lose when you think that way, because you just keep coming back for more. You keep bouncing. You keep trying. You keep working. He'll do well. Don't know why, of course, in the grand scheme of things, this has to happen to a young man. Towards the end of the game, one of the last plays of the game, right? Wow. But for Florida State fans, for Florida State football, we are going to hope for the best. They're in a bye week today, so this is now their bye week. Because of Hurricane Irma, everything else got torn up in terms of scheduling. So stay tuned, folks. We'll see how things work out. But here's to the recovery from several unplanned incidents that the Seminoles have had to deal with in at the beginning of the season. Tim will advise us accordingly. As we look forward in keeping us all on our toes, our prepared promotion is ongoing. As you've heard me say, this is a year-long effort to keep us thinking about how well we are prepared for severe weather, whether it's hurricanes or flooding or intense heat and humidity. Tallahassee's got it all going on. And according to our dear friend and beloved fire chief, Jerome Gaines, his comment was, we all need to stay better prepared throughout the year. So prepared is there for you. TallahasseePrepared.com is the website. And we're in now the production of a magazine, a sort of booklet that will be full, chock full of all kinds of ways that you and I can keep our businesses and our homes better prepared. Some like the word resilient. I think that's a good thing. I think it makes a lot of sense to say if we are resilient, much like DeAndre Francois, you may maybe down for a bit, but you bounce back and you take what you've learned from that experience and you move forward. So kudos to county city officials this last 2-3 weeks better in their preparation for Irma. And I would have to say that if we look at the amount of effort that was given to keeping us informed, motivating us to do the right things, all of those crews that were standing by, come on, in comparison to Hermine, I think everybody has said, okay. And I think if you talk with the folks who are at the helm, you're going to find out that that is exactly how they wanted things to get better, and they've done so. So congratulations, Rob McGarra, Kevin Peters, all of these folks, Sharon Tyler, who have worked hard. Sharon is the head of Capital City Red Cross over there, tirelessly pulling this together. Even people like Christique Henry, they are the ones who really were calling the shots. So as a matter of fact, we've asked all of those people that I've just mentioned to join me on September 30. We will be at Four Points Hotel, downtown Tallahassee, for a live presentation of, or a remote presentation of, Tallahassee Talks. We're going to be there broadcasting Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, September 30th, Four Points Hotel in Tallahassee at the Bronze Ballroom. That's on the ground floor. You are invited, and it's free to the public. You come in and sit in, be part of our studio audience, and we'll have some fun things to give away, some things that will help you be prepared. And we're going to have the opportunity to ask questions of this panel of remarkable professional people, Kevin Peters, Rob McGarra. All of them will be there to answer your questions. Some of those questions we will have from you in advance, and those others will come from you, from the studio audience there. And if you can't make it in, you can tweet or you can email, or you can Facebook your question, and we will take those questions live and deal with them as they come to us. This is for 2 hours, folks, 9 to 11, September 30th, Four Points Hotel, remote live broadcast of Tallahassee Talks, and it's our pleasure to be able to do it for you, all part of our prepared program, this TallahasseePrepared.com site and the magazine, because you're worth it. We are worth it. It's worth us doing everything we can to be of help to one another, don't you think? So stay with me. I've got Tim Linnefeld here coming up in just a minute, and we will continue with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars. On the web at VolcarTally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we have in our segment two the very lovely Tim Linnefeld with another fine opportunity to learn more about FSU football in this special edition of the Linnefeld Sports Report. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Brian, how are you doing?
Nice to have you back.
It's nice to be here.
Wish we had more to say because the last few days have been crickets.
Yeah,
but there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's weird. Not much has happened in that same span of time. A lot has happened, even just as a result of nothing happening. It's been a weird couple of weeks around FSU football and really the whole athletics department. I don't know that I can remember anything quite like this, at least not in the last several years. So, yeah, kind of uncharted territory for everybody.
I was going to ask, what's the mood been like walking the halls around?
Well, the mood this week has been quiet because you know the school's closed, there's no some of the teams evacuated or are on the road. The football team stuck around, and so you see those guys here and there. But by and large, you know, most of the staff is certainly people who aren't staff, on coaching or training staff.
Right.
A lot of people aren't there. Most students aren't there, so it's pretty quiet.
So Irma takes its toll in terms of activities at a lot of different levels. Prior to the arrival of the hurricane, you guys had to come through this mind-boggling injury.
Yes.
In a very weird sort of injury at that.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? The patellar?
Yes. Yeah, the patellar tendon. I guess it's on the front of your knee. That was, of course, DeAndre Francois, the starting quarterback for the Florida State football team, and really just sort of the one thing you wanted to not have happen was to have him have a season-ending knee injury or any type of season-ending injury.
Is this just beyond belief? It's the season opener. This man has given his best in preparation. The team has been training, and all this comes at him through the game. He's doing what he does, taking the hits, right back in the game. Not even unfathomed by the fact that he's being pummeled. That's his style. And then in this late game freak.
Well, and you mentioned compared to some of the hits that you've seen him take before, that it seemed fairly innocuous. He got chased down from behind, but you never know in that type of situation. It's a physical game, and sometimes things that don't look obvious, obviously serious, become serious.
And yet he is the centerpiece of that offense.
Yeah.
So now what? And that's where I was heading when you think about the post reality. You know, he goes through the surgery. What has been the mood among folks on that side is where do we go from here?
Well, I think the biggest thing, first and foremost, is people really kind of felt bad for DeAndre Francois. I mean, this was going to be his year. You know, he was a starting quarterback last year, but there was no questioning where that offense's bread was buttered last year. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was Dalvin Cook's show, and everybody else was sort of, following in his footsteps.
Right.
Well, this year was going to be DeAndre Francois' show, and less than one game into the season, those plans have changed. So Florida State will turn to James Blackman. He's a true freshman quarterback. He'll be the first true freshman to start for Florida State at quarterback since 1985. Chip Ferguson was the guy who did that for your trivia there.
Yeah.
And look, I actually have a lot of confidence in James. I think he's a really nice player. Watching him in practice in August and fall camp leading up to the season, I thought, man, that guy looks like the second best quarterback on the roster. Now we'll see if they were to use him, because he is in his first year and there's other more experienced guys, and maybe they'd want to redshirt him or not. But I said, in terms of just ability, raw ability, that guy looks like the guy. And I think that because DeAndre Francois was hurt so early in the season, it made it easier to go to the young guy. Whereas if it were later in the season and he hadn't played, and maybe you could save a year of his eligibility, maybe you don't do that. But this is the situation that Florida State is in. And you know what else is kind of interesting? As difficult as having this 2-week layoff will be for Florida State, it's really obviously super, super uncommon to play a game, then be off for 2 straight weeks, and then play a game.
And if you're a Seminole
later,
fan, or even just a casual observer, you were waiting for the opportunity to see how this guy's going to play. And then Irma decides, nah, we're not doing that.
Well, but in a sense, Irma said, hey, we're going to give this kid an extra week or two to get ready and get prepared.
Are you saying there's a silver lining around that storm?
A faint silver lining. Okay. I don't mean to make light of the hurricane whatsoever. Obviously, we here in Tallahassee were pretty fortunate.
Well, we can now.
But others were not
still
so much.
Here, but...
But the fact is, you know, Florida State went back to practice earlier this week, went back to practice on Tuesday, so they had almost a full week of practice this week with no game on Saturday. And then a whole nother week of practice leading into the NC State game next Saturday. So if you had to ask for a circumstance to get your freshman quarterback ready for his first game, this isn't so bad.
Yeah. And in fact, it gives him and it gives the offense a chance to really communicate better, doesn't it?
Yeah. And look, don't forget, this guy just got on campus a couple months ago. He was graduating high school, going to his prom 6 months ago.
It's
been a whirlwind couple of weeks for him. has completely changed the tenor of Florida State's football season, but I don't think it necessarily has to be in a bad way.
As far as you know, what is the most, I would say, noteworthy difference between how he plays the game and Francois?
Well, it'll be obvious to anybody who watches him. Maybe, I don't know about how he plays the game, but he's a lot bigger. He's a lot taller. James Blackman is 6'5", which is really, really tall, whereas DeAndre is more in the 6'6", 6'1" range.
Yeah.
So it's really obvious when you see him out there. He just looks like a different player. And sometimes that can be.
He gives him that advantage over that defensive line.
A lot of times, a quarterback who isn't that tall has to kind of find a way to see downfield, because some of those linemen, either be them offensive or defensive linemen, they can really obstruct your field of view. When you're 6'5", you can see over everybody, so that's a pretty good thing.
He weighs in at what, like 160 pounds?
I said to somebody the other day, the first order of business is to take him to Five Guys and staple him to the chair and keep feeding him for the next 2 weeks. You know, get some weight on him. He's a pretty slender guy, but I think he's a really nice player. I thought in August, I said, that guy looks like a great quarterback of the future for Florida State.
Really?
Now, I didn't expect the future would come
that quick
in September of 2017. But you know, it's a funny game and it works that way sometimes.
What else do you see going on among receivers, let's say, and that sort of the whole coordination of the offense between backfield and the receivers?
Well, I think that those guys had a really nice game against Alabama, and I think, you know, look, Jimbo Fisher's mantra in the wake of the injury was, you know, don't think that you have to people who aren't quarterbacks, it was, don't think that you have to do more than what you normally do. Mm-hmm. Be yourself, be who you are, do what you're coached to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let the quarterback handle his job and everything will be fine. So I think that's a pretty good path to follow. But look, if this leads those receivers and certainly those offensive linemen to say, we've got to be that much sharper, we can't have, you know, sloppy routes, we can't be dropping passes, we can't have missed blocks. Not that they weren't feeling that way before, but if it gives them just a little bit of extra boost, I don't think that's a bad thing either.
Well, let's talk about the game that's coming up next Saturday at noon, playing here at Doak Campbell Stadium. They're playing North Carolina State.
Well, NC State's really tough. You're going to see just how well that offensive line is tested. And so I think Florida State will probably win the game. I think it'll be an emotional thing for Florida State being after being away for so long, the first home game in nearly 10 months. So I think they'll get a boost from the crowd, get a boost from all the everything that's led up to this game. And I think they'll win. It might not be as lopsided or as comfortable as you might like, but anytime you get a win with a freshman quarterback in his first game, that's a good thing.
There you have it, folks. Tim Linnefelt with Seminoles.com, sports writer, and a good friend of so many folks who follow Florida State football as well as he does. Be sure that you find him on Twitter there. It's a good thing to do during the game. I like to tweet him every now and then and say, hey, what do you think of that last play? Tim, thank you so much.
You got
a pleasure.
It, Brian.
Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report, just part of what makes Tallahassee Talks what it is. You stay with me. We've got more right after this.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
As you know, we are quite fond of what makes Tallahassee's music scene remarkably unduplicated. There are various members of this, we'll call it music community, that have contributed sizably for decades. They're like wizards. And we have one of those wizards with us here this morning. Dave Murphy, by all accounts, is a musical craftsman. So let's welcome him to the show. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
I'm delighted to be here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is exciting.
And you haven't even cashed the check yet, so I feel good now. There comes down to it, this business of taking somebody who may be very talented, you know, and then because of the skills that Dave brings, he takes what is the engineering part of this and makes magic. Dave, it's said of you that you are a gifted engineer. I'm going to embarrass you here. And there are many gifted engineers, but when it comes to Dave Murphy, he is in a grouping by himself. I'm reading from my notes here. This is
okay.
This is apparently on the internet, so it must be true. It says, what sets apart is Dave apart is his ability to listen and then articulate what he's hearing. He'll hear things that you may miss as an artist and then apply your best work out of you. That's what a great craftsman does. So these are the kinds of things that are being said about Dave, and you've been doing this now for a while. I think you told me you were not originally from Tallahassee.
Yeah, no, I'm originally from Vero Beach, Florida. Yeah. I grew up there. My parents owned a music store. So from a young age, I started out in the music store. They rented band instruments. I would pick up these instruments. Our family vacations were going to these NAMM shows, the Music Association shows. And while other kids had sports figure posters on their walls, I had pictures of Moog synthesizers.
And you've been in a kind of partnership with Pete Winter for many years, too.
Yeah, our studios are in Midtown. I'm part of the my studios are affiliated with the MediaWorks production group, which is Pete Winter and Winterstone Sound and Glenn Sharon, MediaWorks.
Yeah. What a formidable trio you are. Scary good, we'd say. And being in Midtown, and being as connected as you are to this music community. I mean, folks, just sitting here and talking with Dave before the show, rattling off all of the greats that Tallahassee has produced over the years, Pierce Pettis among them, Eric Durance, and you've produced a lot of these people's music.
I've been fortunate to produce some of them. To correct you, I didn't produce the New 76ers record.
You did not, okay.
No, Chris Klopp at Log Cabin did, and he's a wonderful engineer.
All right, well, we'll take that one off your list then, so you don't get
credit. No, I work with Kelly and Danny on other projects. I bring them in.
I see.
Danny is an excellent pedal steel player.
He
plays
really
kind of like a Daniel Lanois, very moody kind of a style, and I use him a lot for that. Kelly's a wonderful singer.
Now, in your own right, you have written and produced some of your own music, right?
I have over time some, but I have found that I'm my own worst client.
So you take care of all of these other musicians that we enjoy so much, and what a marvelous litany of creation you've done. And I'm telling you, folks, just reading through some of the very few that Dave brought me this morning, it is the who's who. We're going to take a moment here in the show and let you listen to one of these. This is a song by Ed Bradley. Tell us about this. It's called I See the Moon.
It's called I See the Moon. I worked with Ed a few years back, a couple of years ago. Ed came to me, and he had spent a period of time a few decades ago living in Woodville, sort of as a hermit. He had a house that was $100 a month, and during a two-year period, he'd go for a month and not see anyone, and he would write all this material, and he decided to make an album of the material from that period. And he called in a lot of his friends from the music community, people like the late great guitar player Scott Campbell, Kelly Goddard, Danny Goddard, a lot of great players, a guitar player named Jim Evans, who was here, who lives in Gainesville now.
Right.
And I got involved with the project and sort of became co-producer. I started laying down bass tracks, and that led to putting other tracks on.
Yeah.
And I think that the record really turned out, it was a very special record from this period of time. This particular track, I See the Moon, is very swampy. It's very nighttime. And it's Ed on vocals and guitar and percussion. It has Scott Campbell with slide, a blues guitar, and guitar textures. I'm playing a bass, but it has a whammy bar on it.
Okay.
So it's got this kind of a sound.
Yeah.
And then Kelly Goddard is doing background vocals
on it. Let's take a listen. This is Ed Bradley, I See the Moon.
She's See you later, moon.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When you look at Tallahassee, and you've been here a long, long time, decades, I think you said you got here in 82.
Correct.
Music business has changed remarkably.
Very much.
In Tallahassee, particularly. In the early days, people like Steve Meisberg and Del Suggs battling to try to get local officials to see their way clear to do something like a 4th of July celebration or a Winterfest where, oh my goodness, local musicians actually get paid to play at these festivals, and yet they got all this pushback. It's just astounding to me.
Yeah, I think a lot of credit to the late Steve Meisberg, former mayor of Tallahassee, and to Del Suggs for championing music in support of the local music community in Tallahassee being officially sponsored by the city and the county for events. Oh. There was a time where Winterfest didn't exist, where there wasn't a venue for local musicians in the music community to play for the public and to have that be sponsored by our city. And now we can't imagine life without Winterfest, right, or Springtime Tallahassee or the 4th of July celebrations that showcase local talent.
From your perspective, the venues that beyond the festivals, then you have these little venues like Blue Tavern that's just opened up there, right, in Midtown, right?
Right. Wonderful venue.
Yeah?
Why? Yeah, that's... It's an interesting thing. That was opened by a dear friend of mine, Charlie Engstrom, who is a film composer and part of the Belmont and Jones Blues.
Okay. That you've also produced.
Yes. I've done two records for Belmont and Jones. Wow. Charlie and I became friends when Charlie's a film composer, and we worked on three of the Victor Nunes movies together.
Yeah.
The first one we did was Ruby in Paradise with Ashley Judd, and then we did Yuli's Gold with Peter Fonda.
Wow.
And then the last one was Coastlines. Hmm. And so they decided to open this club in Midtown, and I didn't get it at first, but when I went in, I got it.
No. And we've heard from local musicians for a long time, woefully, they don't get paid well in Tallahassee. Danny Bedrosian here a few weeks ago talking about going to Thomasville and getting paid twice what he'd get paid to do the same gig here in Tallahassee.
It's an interesting thing. You know, it costs, what, $14 to go to the movies or $12 to go to the movies. Most other towns you go to or cities or college towns, Athens, Austin, these areas, I mean, it's fair to pay $5 or $10 to go see live original music in a club. I'm not sure how that happened. I think it happened in the 70s with club owners competing for college students. And it really devalued the music community and just trying to get students who don't have a lot of money to get them into the clubs with free cover charges. And then you can't. That there were exceptions to that. There was a club owned by Martin Hayes called Finales. Very good to bands.
Yeah, I remember. There have been some delightful exceptions. Maybe we're seeing a resurgence of that and less of this schism then. Or maybe it's just the local community growing up a bit and realizing we have some great music here. And just because you're not, 21 years old, 22 years old, going to college, you too can enjoy music. So.
Yeah, I think we're also seeing what I would call alternative venues springing up. Places like the Miccosukee Land Co-op, Listening Room, House Parties, other sorts of events, and then other...
B-Sharps, another example.
Yeah, B-Sharps, right? other venues valuing live music and creating those venues.
Well, we've got one more song that we want to bring to the audience here. This is called Let It Go, and from an artist called Fuse. Tell us about this song.
This is really interesting. I had some friends call me who owned a studio here in town, and they said... We have this band that we've heard. They've come into the studio, and we think they're really good, and would you be interested in producing this record? I said, well, I'll come over and give a listen. And it was a young band. I think they were out of high school just a few years, and they were called Fuse. And it was my introduction to this fellow, Eric Durance, who was just a couple years out of high school. And I heard this band, and I said, wow, these guys are really good. And this Eric guy is a fantastic singer.
Yeah.
So we worked on this record. It was actually, interestingly, I made the transition. I'm sort of this crossover engineer. I started out my recording career with reel-to-reels and doing 8, 16, 24 track tape, and then switched over to the digital audio Pro Tools.
Yeah.
This was one of the first albums in high definition done on in the Pro Tools format. So it was one of the first computer records I did. I won't go back. I love the sound of analog, but I'm firmly in the digital world. And so we did this record using Pro Tools. Eric since went on to get signed to on Wind Up Records, which was the same record label Creed and Evanescence, and has had a wonderful career. Now he is back here playing with the Tobacco Road Band.
Yeah, having a good time. Folks, from the early days of the career that Dave Murphy has been so skillfully carrying out over these many years, this band Fuse with Eric Durance, the song Let It Go. So let's take a listen. We're going to say goodbye to Dave. Thanks for being here today. It's been a pleasure to have you. Will you promise to come back and bring us more stories?
I certainly will. I'm delighted to be here. Thanks.
Folks, we've got this song, and then we'll be back after the top of the hour. So here again, Fuse and Let It Go. Thank you.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for over 70 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we have with us in this second hour, Brett Wellman coming up. Bring us even more goodness. And he's got this concert coming up at Northside Stage, October 13. That's out there at Wildwood Church on Ox Bottom Road. So we're wanting to make sure everybody knows about that. And they do such a fine job. You know, we were there about a month ago for the Bell and the Band show. And now with Brett Wellman coming up here on the 13th, about a month from now. That's a Friday night. Starts at 6:30 with Jim Crozier opening. Many of you know and love Jim's music. He's been on the show, too, more often than not. A few times, I think. And we got some of his music up there on Moose. Here comes a guy like Brett Wellman who will just blues your socks off. He's a remarkable musician. I think that's worth celebrating, and that's why we created Moose Magnificat. And it's why, in this case, we are bringing you Tallahassee Talks live on the 30th of this month. We'll be at Four Points Hotel for a remote broadcast of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You are invited to be part of our studio audience there. And it's all about being prepared, being resilient. We're going to have opportunity to ask questions of Tallahassee's leaders in this area. Kevin Peters, who's in charge of emergency management for the county. Rob Magiera, who's in charge of utilities for the city. And you'll have people there, too, like Christique Henry, who's head of CONA. That's the Council on Neighborhood Association. And Chief Jerome Gaines, our fire chief, he'll be there. And we've got Sharon Tyler, who's the head of Red Cross. So you're going to be able to ask questions of these folks in person. And we'll have some freebies that we're giving out. Starts at 9 o'clock, so you're going to be there about 8:30 to join us at Four Points Hotel, downtown Tallahassee, September 30th. Of course, the show will go in its entirety from 9 to 11. And if you're out of town or just can't make it into town, you can tweet, Facebook, or email us your questions, and we'll take those questions online and then share them with our panel. So you'll get a live response to your question, hopefully. That's all coming up on the 30th of September. You know, we talk about being prepared, and I think of it in terms of how we organize ourselves around a specific set of goals. So, you know, kind of step back a little bit and think about what needs to happen in order for us to move the needle. And that, of course, is the business of administration of any kind in any enterprise. There have to be some ordered steps involved. There has to be a kind of logic that underpins how we move forward. And then there's this sort of distribution of labor, we'll call it, or the assignments that get handed out to the various players involved. Well, we're part of that. You know, so the county and the city have done their part to be better prepared. We need to do the same thing. Let me transition just a bit with you in terms of our preparedness as a population, even at a national level, at a societal level. It came across my desk earlier this week when you're looking at the recent research of the Annenberg Public Policy Center. Now, these are folks that spend quite a bit of time looking at such questions as, what does the First Amendment actually say? And they go about researching that question among the population. And now these folks all operate out of the University of Pennsylvania, Annenberg Public Policy Center. Remarkably, and rather woefully, their most recent research, which was conducted here within the last 2 months, involved a little over 1,000 people in their sample. Incidentally, if you're familiar with social research, it happens to be one of my favorite topics, what's called a simple random sampling of any population is intended methodologically to make sure that your sample is representative of the population to which you're generalizing. So you say, what, 1,000 people? Well, okay, but statistically speaking, or in terms of the odds of this sample being skewed one way or the other, there are certain things you can do as a researcher to make sure that that doesn't happen, okay? Not to take you too far down that path, but parenthetically, I want to just say to you that among these adults, a little over 1,000 of them, in the United States, this research found that 53% thought that people who are here illegally do not have any rights under the Constitution. That's incorrect. That's not a good thing. So more than half of Americans incorrectly think it's accurate to say that immigrants who are here illegally have no rights under the Constitution. Not true. More than a third of those surveyed, 37% of them, said they couldn't name any of the rights guaranteed under the First Amendment. None of them. Not even like the freedom of speech. Haven't we talked about that? Were you absent that day? About 26% of them, a quarter of Americans a quarter of those surveyed, 26%, can name all three branches of government. So to flip that around, that means about three quarters of those surveyed said they could not name all three branches of government. Okay, so the director of this Annenberg Public Policy Center, her name is Kathleen Hall Jamison. Kathleen Hall Jamison says, protecting the rights guaranteed by the Constitution presupposes that we know what they are. The fact that many do not is worrisome, you think? And these results emphasize the need for high-quality civics education in the schools and for press reporting that underscores the existence of constitutional protections. In other words, you can't expect a democracy to survive if its populace, if its citizenry, if its members are completely uneducated. And Thomas Jefferson, among many, noted for his insistence on that in his writing, which incidentally is why Francis Epps, his grandson, who when he got to Leon County about 170 years ago or better, said, we need to have two seminaries, one east and one west of the Suwannee River. And they are in existence today. One is called University of Florida and the other is Florida State University, thanks to the pioneering efforts of Thomas Jefferson's grandson, Francis Epps. Now, there's some history for you and a legacy that we can all be proud of. Yep. And in that capacity, my friend, let us recall, if we intend to be prepared for any future, be it the weather conditions that we face or the societal climate that we are all affected by, it does require some vigilance. It does require some effort. Let us recommit ourselves then, my friends, to restating what it is we believe. And for heaven's sakes, if you have to, in the words of Carl, Google it. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, welcome back to Trucking Car Concepts. It is tailgate season. It's time to secure your tailgate items. We can do that with the tonneau covers. We do alarm systems, both in the bed and the vehicle itself. And we also do camper shells or toppers. Not only that, let's dress your truck up. We got Nerf bars, we do window tinting, car stereos. Bringing out the tailgate pong. Everybody loves to play tailgate pong. Come on down to Trucking Car Concepts and get yourself ready for tailgate. 656-8800.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
He is a highly celebrated blues musician, has been for a number of years, has an interesting history that I want to share with you before I introduce this young fella. At the age of 5, he began learning violin using the Suzuki method, which should not be confused with the motorcycle, okay, just for those who are new to the game here. By age 11, he had already done a two-week tour through Western Europe, and this was all before the fall of the Iron Curtain. By his late teens, he took up the guitar and developed a deep interest in the blues, having discovered the likes of Robert Johnson, Muddy Waters, and bands like Led Zeppelin, Savoy Brown, and Hot Tuna. Fast forward to some time in the mid-2006 or so, 2007, he is involved in a remarkable project with Public Radio International, in which he's composing and recording the soundtrack for a radio documentary. All of this brings him to us as a uniquely talented blues guitarist, classical violinist, who is performing all over town. I mean, it's hard to go to Facebook and not find Brett Wellman popping up somewhere in Tallahassee. Also a music instructor here in our fair city, and it's a pleasure to welcome. How are you, Brett?
I'm great. How are you?
The great Brett Wellman, who, for his part, has, I mean, among other things, has carried the torch for this music community we love and we like to celebrate here. And what a musical day we're having, with Dave Murphy being with us in the first hour.
What a great guy.
Yeah, and he has done a lot to help advance the best of all of us in the way of music and, we'll say loosely, entertainment. And you and I have talked a little bit about this. Others have said similarly, Tallahassee's a weird sort of town when it comes to paying its musicians. You are subject to some of that. Danny Bedrosian talking about playing in Thomasville and getting paid twice what he gets paid if he does the same gig here in Tallahassee. Where does that, how is that happening, do you think?
It's there's a lot of different facets to it. It is dependent upon the venues, obviously, because they're the ones that are paying. Dependent upon the musicians themselves to be professional and treat music as a business and not just as a weekend hobby.
So it's a two-way.
Well, it's three-way, really, because then it's also up to the general public. Mm. You know, and the general public, they will go where the better music is, and you're going to have the better music where the higher-paying venues are.
Are we, in some respects, are we sort of spoiled in that we have Florida State University bringing things like opening nights? You know, you get this world-class entertainment, or even things like the recent festivals, the Florida Jazz Blues Festival. And so here are opportunities for us to go and enjoy this music. And generally speaking, the ticket prices are pretty modest, I mean, against what you would pay elsewhere.
Yeah.
So does that sort of then bring the whole thing down for everybody else?
That's a great question. I don't know. Because those are kind of one-off events. I mean, you know, the opening nights is every year. but it's only in what, February, March, you know, early spring.
It's expended. It goes now for I think 7 months. Carry out through the year. Yeah,
but it's hit and miss kind of thing.
Right.
The Jazz and Blues Festival that you mentioned is a one off thing.
Right.
You know, it's just once a year,
as opposed to every week, every Friday night, every Thursday night. Whatever.
Yeah, we're not like a booming metropolis like Atlanta or Orlando, where you would have all these different fine arts things to choose from. Now FSU does offer a lot of great musical choices in that regard, but I think that the way it should be looked at, it's not by most, but I think that it should be looked at by the local musicians as the opportunity for them to watch and learn and raise their game of performance.
I'm wondering how much that is, and you mentioned the student population. I mean, how many aspiring musicians are out there playing for $25, you know, because they're just looking for a chance to play.
Yeah.
And that does then, cut into the guy like you, this is your career. This is how you make your living, right?
That's right. Well, you sell radio advertising, right? You have to pay your bills. Everybody expects that.
Right.
If you have another radio station that's paying at, you know, that's charging an eighth of what you're charging.
Yeah.
You know, it's
going to deflate. And that was my thought about some of these larger scale operations. The Artist Series is another example. I mean, if you're into chamber music, you can go to an Artist Series concert and for a pittance, or Tallahassee Community Chorus perform some of the most elaborate, celebrated music on the planet, and your ticket prices are remarkably low.
And there is a place for that. And any musician that's starting off that wants to perform in the bars and the restaurants and stuff, I would tell them, don't play for the $25 fee in the free meal, in the free beer, but to get, because everybody needs exposure. That's how you get started in the stage experience. Go for charities. Play for charity events, because then you're donating your time. You can actually write it off on your taxes, which unfortunately a lot of early, startup musicians aren't savvy with
enough
money and with taxes and stuff.
You really take a sort of entrepreneurial approach to this whole thing for you.
It is a business, absolutely.
And you stay busy. Like I said, I mean, I don't think there's a week that goes by that I don't see you playing at least one or two gigs. And it's a pleasure, really, if you've not had a chance to listen to the talents of this fine young man, we're going to bring some of that music to you, because he brought his axe with him. So we're going to, in the next segment here, we're going to have him play for us. And the name of your band is the Stone Cold Blues Band.
Yep.
Tell us about the band.
The band's awesome. October will be 6 years we've been around. And we started because of a charity event, as a matter of fact. We started because of a breast cancer event over in Southwood. And that's why I formed the band, and it just took off. And there's four of us. And we do mostly Chicago-style electric blues, but at various occasions we'll do all acoustic shows. We love the acoustic stuff. It's so much fun to do that Delta sound. It's a blast. It gets back to the roots. We always bring our A game, and to me that is so important. And when you dress up, you just feel better. And when you dress up, you play better. And you always put that image forward. And it doesn't matter what the establishment is, and you are, I think you're much more respected because of that.
So the fact that I'm sitting here in my robe and slippers is probably not what you were looking for.
If that's how you want to run your business, go right ahead.
Well, maybe I need to take a lesson here from the great Brett Wellman, who brings a business-like attitude to his music. We're going to continue this conversation here in just a moment. And as I promised, we've got a great song for you from Brett. You stay with me. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maids makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Brett Wellman. Name of the band is Stone Cold Blues. Started out doing a charity event, and you said earlier that that's an important thing for younger folks, or not necessarily younger, but those breaking in, to think about how they can grow their business, grow awareness, do those charitable events where they can donate their talents. Be sure to write it off on your taxes.
Absolutely.
As a contribution, but don't get to the point where you're simply giving your time away at some bar because they're willing to pay you $25. I've noticed, and I mentioned this to you earlier, Danny Bedrosian talking about the difference between Thomasville and Tallahassee.
Right.
Thomasville paying more. Is that because Tallahassee hasn't better yet? Why is that, do you think?
You know, it's...
what's Thomasville got going on that we don't?
A different attitude. A different attitude about it. Thomasville, and I'm not overly familiar with Thomasville performing up there.
Yeah.
But from what I've read, from what I've heard from that interview and such,
yeah.
Thomasville has a different appreciation of it. And they don't see music as something that's just going to be in the background where they can just advertise they have music. They see it as an actual supplement.
It is the thing.
Carl has brought that it's worth it.
To my attention on a few occasions, and that's true of music that is played out, you know, DJs playing music. It's really not about the music. The people that are going to those kinds of venues are jumping around and drinking and having a good time, and they're really there for a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there because of the music.
Look at it this way. All right, so you have an establishment, and you call me, and you say, hey, I want to book you on Saturday night. How many people can you bring in?
Mm.
Well, if I tell you I can bring in 25, 30 people, you're like, oh, wow, those are all new faces. That'll be great. Okay, so, but if you hire me to do that, the next night I'm playing somewhere else. So guess what? Those 25 or 30 people, they're not coming back. So you shouldn't hire me to bring in people. You should hire me as an additive to the people that you already have. If you're a restaurant, your food needs to bring in the people,
right?
Not the guy that's sitting in the corner with the guitar.
Right, right. Interesting. Well, as promised, Brett's going to bring to us his musical talents here with this song. Tell us about it.
Well, this is a Big Bill Brunzi tune. It's called Key to the Highway, and it was recorded back in the 40s. And I brought my 12-string today. 12-strings you don't hear too often, so it's kind of cool to play an acoustic 12-string.
I love 12-string.
It's neat. It's got a huge sound.
I was a child of the 60s, man. So 12-string was like the thing, right?
It's awesome.
Right?
You
couldn't listen to Peter, Paul, and Mary or, you know, whomever without having that sound.
Yeah, and a lot of the old bluesmen used 12-strings because it had such a bigger sound
to
it. You just don't see them very much anymore, so it's really unique.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen. Key to the Highway with Brett Wellman.
I'm gonna leave.
the great Brett Wellman. Is that your name, Brett Wellman?
It is. That's my real name.
It's early, man, and it's post Irma, and I'm blaming everything I can on the hurricane here. So
milk it,
give
man.
Me a break. So yeah, cool song, man. The fact is, it isn't easy to be a musician in Tallahassee. I think that's kind of what we've talked about here. I don't know that it's easy to be a musician anywhere. My son lives out in Los Angeles. He's been at it for the last 25
That's
years
right.
of his life.
Mm-hmm. So you know.
Firsthand. Played Tallahassee for many years. We trudged through all of the slime, and it was not easy. He recently was signed to do music for American Horror Story. So some of his music is in their pre-release, their promos and stuff. It's the first time he's gotten that level of acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. But man alive, I can't even count the number of festivals he's played. I remember him playing in the old days. He played at Floyd's, and they gave him $5. And he took the $5 bill and tore it in half and said, no, thanks, I'm good. And then another occasion, he was offered a bag of white powdery substance.
Right.
We're not certain exactly. And that was his pay for the night. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Morgan has never gotten involved in drugs.
That will play for the barter system.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of that.
But what is it about, again, this business? And you know, we can talk about music, but isn't it true that that mentality seems to invade a lot of what we do, whether it's radio stations or even businesses that just won't work and play well with others?
Yeah.
We have this sort of me against them attitude, mm-hmm. and I think it hurts us.
I do too. I think that, here I'll give you an example. My band, you know, we go out and we watch other local bands. We're not trying to steal stuff. We're trying to improve ourselves by studying what the other bands are doing, and we give credit where credit is due. We're actually working on a song right now that Frank Jones wrote. Frank Jones is another fantastic
Amazing.
Musician here in town.
Yeah.
And so we're going to add his song to our set list, and we're going to, you know, every time we play it, we'll tell people this is a Frank Jones song.
You know what I think is cool? As we're sitting here talking, you're actually on, what, 3 or 4 other radio stations.
Right.
Doing similar sorts of things, mm-hmm. playing your music. I think you're on 106.
Mm-hmm.
You're on 94.9.
Yep.
You're at Gulf 104. Mm-hmm. You're playing all these different venues, including Bradfordville Blues Club, BBC.
Yep.
What kind of feedback do you get from these people? Are they...
Some of them are open to it, and some of them are not real appreciative of it. I don't look at it as anything competitive. I look at it as you are promoting the individual venue, which is what they contacted me to want to do.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make a buck off of it, which is fine. That's the way the system works.
Yeah, yeah.
But also by being on multiple outlets, media outlets that way, you're also promoting music in general. And
right.
you're promoting the Tallahassee community, and you're helping the economy.
And you've got a show coming up here in a couple of weeks, I guess October the
13th
at
I can't wait.
Northside Stage.
That's the one.
Very
I'm
cool venue.
Crazy excited about.
They are very, very good people up there. Sarah Rober and Josh that runs all of that for him, and good people. And we're working on that. We want to see if we can broadcast live that evening. So maybe we can put your show up on Moose.
Oh, that would be awesome.
For that evening. Yeah. Folks, we got Brett Wellman with us. He's going to be here for just a few more minutes. So you stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Some folks know they call me this, some folks they call me that, but the way that I feel, you should never ever call me back, cause I was built for comfort, honey, I would not feel false me. But I got everything, yeah, the little girls they need. Now see, I ain't got no diamonds and I ain't got no gold. What I got for you, honey, is gonna rock your world, cause I was built for comfort. Baby, I would not feel false me. But I got everything, yeah, the little girls they need. Some folks know they do like this, some folks they believe in signs, but you want me, honey, you better take your time, cause I was built for comfort. Baby, I was not built for speed. Some folks know they call me this, some folks they call me that, but the way that I feel, you should never ever call me back, cause I was built for comfort. Baby, I was not built for speed. But I got everything, yeah, the little girls they need.
We're back. We're talking with Brett Wellman, the great.
I don't know where that comes
Brett
from.
Well, I was paid to say this. I mean, I do what I'm paid to do.
That's a big check I have
the
to write.
Great,
you
absolutely. The great Brett Wellman, who you tell me is interested in other musicians to the degree that you want to take a Frank Jones song, make it part of your set.
Absolutely.
And then throw him the credit for it.
Yeah. Well, here's a sort of an example of that. I host a blues jam every single week. And it is at Dreamland Barbecue.
Dreamland.
And it's open to any musician of any caliber. It makes no difference. And I've had 12-year-olds come out and play.
Wow.
I've had 18-year-olds come out and play. And I've had 70-year-olds come out and play.
Wow.
Skill levels across the spectrum. And it doesn't matter. It's wide open. I just want people to come out and have stage experience and learn something and have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And for the people who are sitting there enjoying their Dreamland Barbecue... Mm-hmm. What a treat that is.
Well, every week is different. We do it every Thursday starting at 6.
Huh.
And I've literally had an 18-year-old that knew 3 chords, and she came up and she did a couple songs that she knew. And I said, "Do you want to keep on playing?" And she says, "I don't know any blues." I said, "It's okay." And so throughout the rest of the evening, as the song would progress, I would call out the chords to her. And she ended up playing for over 2 hours.
Wow.
And she came back for the next 3 or 4 weeks before she went off to college. At one point in time, there's something called the blues scale or the pentatonic scale. It's very simple. It's just a pattern to learn it, basically. And I taught it to her while we were standing there. She learned it real fast in probably about 2 minutes. And in that next song she was playing, it was very simple, but she was playing lead guitar.
Wow.
And, I mean, the look on her face, on her dad's face, on her grandparents' face, and that's so rewarding. You know, the music belongs to everybody.
You know, we talk about the Bradfordville Blues Club,
mm-hmm.
as you say, BBC. That in and of itself is one of the few in the country that as a crossroads has hosted some of the world's best blues musicians.
It's an amazing place, and hats off to Gary and Kim Anton. They have pretty much dedicated their entire lives, you know, for the last 15 years to make that place run.
Relentless.
And the caliber, the quality is amazing.
You have that approach in your business as an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
How did that all get started, I guess?
I met this lady, Lindsay, who had a company here in town called Music Lessons Express, and went to work for her, and she decided to move along, and it just worked out for me to buy the business. I had it for 5 years, and loved it. It was an amazing opportunity. We had like 250 students, you know, and I had over 30 instructors working for me. So I was not only able to teach music to all different ages, but also I was able to employ musicians and give them an income by doing what they loved and what they knew.
Some of those students of yours now playing in Tallahassee?
Not only that, I tell you, I had the most incredible success story. I had a young girl who I started teaching when she was in middle school, and saw her dad the other day. She has been accepted to a music college in Minnesota. She just started school up there last week. And he said, it's all because of me. And,
wow.
And
that's an honor.
I'm not going to say it really was. It made me well up. I mean, it's just because my music teacher is in her 80s down in Orlando, and I still keep in touch with her. And she's the one I started taking violin at, you know, with when I was
Look
five.
At that.
And I called her up and I said, this girl that just went off to college is because of you. It's not because of me. It's because you started me in music and fostered me to love it and to grow in it. And because of that, I was able to touch this girl.
I know you've got another song for us, so let's do that. This is a Robert Johnson tune, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's called
Kind-Hearted Woman.
Kind-Hearted Woman with Brett Wellman here. Tallahassee Talks. We're going to close out the show with this. Brett, thank you for being
Absolutely.
With us today. Folks, don't forget October the 13th
yep.
at Northside Stage. We'll be looking for you to be there. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment right here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
So if you come to me and you say, I want to buy a house, the first thing I do is meet with you and say, okay, let's talk about this process. What can you afford? And not just purchase price, your lifestyle. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have here?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck & Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for any investor, in my opinion, affordable housing is something that we should be looking at. That means a purchase price of about $185 to $250, a rental income of about $1,000 to $1,500 max.
Realtor, broker, consultant, Tiffany Hamilton. Hamilton is helping homebuyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career as a realtor nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.